John Lee had a lot of really helpful comments on concentration practice. Very helpful observations. The first has to do with the factors of jhana, that directed thought and evaluation, and singleness of preoccupation are the causes. Those are the things you do. And when you do them well, it gives rise to the other two factors of the first jhana. Pleasure and a sense of fullness, rapture. Because it's all too easy if you read the description of five factors, you just try to throw the five factors together. And it doesn't work that way. Some are causes, some are results. And the fact that evaluation is just that, evaluation, that too is an important observation. Some of the commentaries say that directed thought is when you bring the mind to an object, and then vichara is just keeping it there. But the word vichara in Pali and vichan in Thai mean evaluation. And John Lee really stressed that you are evaluating. It is a wisdom factor. It's a discernment factor. And it's something really important in the practice. Looking at what you're doing and learning how to evaluate it and trying to figure out what's wrong, what can be corrected. It's through developing this factor that you become a more and more reliable, not only meditator, but more reliable friend to yourself. You can look after yourself better. Instead of just running with whatever comes into the mind, you learn to step back and ask yourself, what am I doing? What are the results of what I'm doing? Where can I do it better? It's in that ability to observe that you begin to develop some discernment of your own. And you can learn what's stated in the texts about what discernment is and the things that discerning people see. But you want to be able to see them in your own mind. And this is how you do it. You watch yourself in action. And this, of course, starts with the Buddha's instructions to Rahula. I know a lot of people who comment that they really wish that their parents had been like the Buddha, teaching them the way the Buddha taught Rahula. No, it's basically saying try to avoid mistakes, and this is how you do it. And if you find that you've made a mistake, this is what you do, so you don't have to make it again. Probably some of the most valuable advice you can get. If you're planning to do something, ask yourself, what have been the results of my doing this in the past? And if doing it led to unskillful things, then you say, no, I don't want to do that again. And unskillful here means causing harm to yourself, harm to others, or harm to both. So the Buddha here is teaching you compassion, but he's also teaching you to remember your actions. It's training in mindfulness and the ability to see connections. You know, I did X and Y happened as a result. We don't always see that connection. Either because we don't want to see, or the cause and the effect were separated by time and we got distracted in the meantime. But here the Buddha is saying, you look carefully at what you're doing and the results of what you're doing so you can learn from it. And if contemplating an action, you don't see that it's going to cause any trouble, well, go ahead and try it. Or if you're not sure, if it's something new you've never done before, say, well, this is an experiment. But then watch while you're doing it. What kind of results are you getting right away? And if you see that it's causing harm, you stop. If you don't see any harm, you can continue with it. And then when you're done, you look back on the long-term results. That right there teaches you a very important principle about causality, because some causes have an effect immediately, and sometimes they have an effect over time, and sometimes they have both. So you want to learn how to take advantage of that. It's interesting that the Buddha when he gave the most condensed explanation of his awakening, it was the principle of causality, kind of the bare bones principle. And he spent 45 years working out the implications of that principle. And one of the most important ones is that you can learn from your mistakes so you don't have to repeat them. But it does require that you be mindful and alert. So you know what you're doing. You're not just doing things on automatic pilot. And you're alert to what you're doing. You notice what you're doing. And then you remember when you see something coming up, whether it's pleasure or pain, okay, what is this connected with? What did I do that caused this? This way you learn how to look after yourself. That's probably one of the most important principles of the teachings. The Buddha is here to give you guidance on how you can be reliable in looking after yourself. That you can take charge of yourself. You can be responsible. You don't have to go around depending on other people all the time. But it does require that you learn how to admit your mistakes to yourself. Otherwise, you never learn. It also requires that you learn how to notice when you do something well and not be embarrassed to think about it. The principle of causality may be complex, but there's enough regularity to it that you can learn from it. This is why we're here, practicing, developing the mindfulness and alertness so that we can watch ourselves, so we can evaluate our actions. Learning how to step back a bit and ask how it might have been done better. This is particularly useful when we get into issues around the Four Noble Truths. The Buddha wants you to step back from your craving. He wants you to step back from your clinging and to the aggregates. So you can see, well, what is this all about? The world teaches us to go with our craving. Obey your thirst, they tell you. Of course, then they try to take advantage of you that way. And the Buddha is saying, step back. This person you think you are that you've identified with, do you have to? And he says, you don't. The things you've done, the habits you've had, that you've developed over time, you can change them if you see that they're unskillful. You've got that freedom. And here's how you take advantage of it. Get more mindful, get more alert. So you learn from your mistakes, and that way you can make fewer mistakes. So when you see your mind rumbling down a road to depression or whatever, you can pull yourself back and say, no, I don't have to go there anymore. I've been there. I know what it's like. When you go into a tailspin, well, you can get yourself out. It's this ability to step back, step out. Watch things and evaluate them and say, well, that's where the mistake was, and I'm not going to do that again. And here's an alternative, a better alternative. Let's try this. This is what every teacher in the tradition wants to see in his students, is their ability to observe themselves and step back a bit, change course when necessary. There was one time after I'd been a John Fuang's attendant for about 3 or 4 years, I made a habit every day when I would go to his hut to clean it up, to prepare questions for him. If there's something that had come up in the course of the day that I didn't understand or anything that might seem relevant to the practice. And I'd learned early on that you didn't just kind of come blurting out with your questions. You had to frame them properly. But there came a point where I just didn't have any more questions. A question would come into my mind and I would know how I would answer it. I mentioned that to him one day. He said, good, it's a sign that we know each other now. And the purpose of really knowing your teacher this way is that you've internalized the Dharma. And that becomes your refuge. This ability to step back and evaluate. It's not just a factor of concentration. It's trained in concentration. It gets more and more refined because we're working on evaluating our thoughts so that we can bring them to stillness. That's a very special skill. But in the course of that, you've got to learn a lot about your thinking. What gets it stirred up? When it's going in a skillful and unskillful direction? What you can do to calm it down when it's unskillful? What you can do to encourage it when it's skillful? These are all important lessons to learn that apply not only to concentration, but to your whole life. Seeing the way you interact with people, how is it skillful, how is it not? When it's going well, how can you keep it going well and not get complacent? When it's going poorly, how can you watch it with enough patience and equanimity until you understand it without getting depressed? When you can do that, then the teacher's heart can be at rest. And your heart can gain confidence. You really can learn how to look after yourself with ease. We wish that for all beings every day. And this is how you make it a reality in your own life.